conditions. The juvenile department will be in the same mode as other departments in the county. We have to deal with those as our finances ebb and flow. And I cannot sit here and tell you that at some time in the future, if we suffer severe budgetary constraints, that there will not be cuts made in the juvenile department.
Yep.
But those cuts will be made in other departments as well.
My question is, will this bill and the passage of this bill in its present form have a fiscal impact on the counties? And I realize
yes.
You can only speak to Lane.
All right. To a direct answer to that question, I'm sorry I misunderstood your question, Mr. Chairman. We will be required to spend some additional amount of money if this bill passes, because we will have to assume the liability for workers' compensation and for the unemployment compensation. And
who pays that now?
The state court system pays that now. Now, we had to go through an attorney general's opinion about 3 years ago, it was a lawsuit, pardon me.
But who pays the salaries?
The salaries are all paid by the county except for the judge himself.
And the salaries do not include workers' compensation?
No, we do not currently pay that part for those salaries.
That's paid for by the state?
By the state. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry I fumbled it there.
Well, you did for Lane.
Yeah.
Is it also true? I get an affirmative nod from the Clatsop County representative,
yes.
Commissioners here.
It will apply across the board. I've been told that there's a fiscal impact to the state of a reduction in total cost of $150,000 to $200,000, and I can't vouch for that.
And am I getting county input? I see people signed up from. Should get the AOC representative up here to see. It's the first time I can remember if it's true that the counties want to take on added fiscal responsibility, but I just want to make sure I understood.
Okay. I can respond to that, Mr. Chairman. I serve on the legislative committee of the Association of Oregon Counties, and I'm second vice president of that association. We have taken a position in support of this bill, recognizing that there will be some fiscal impact to the counties. And Paul Snyder could back me up on that, I believe.
He signed up. We'll get to him.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll call Alan Young. And Alan Peterson, is he also with you?
Yes.
Would you mind coming up together?
Sure, no problem. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Alan Young. I'm director of the Yamhill County Juvenile Department. Judge Stephen Harrell, who is a member of the Multnomah County Circuit Bench, and for the past 22 and a half hours has been president of the Oregon Juvenile Directors Association, asked me to represent the association this afternoon. I have a couple of pieces of material for the committee, both of which I want to get to in a couple of moments. One is a package of material that was submitted to the Senate's Government Operations and Elections Committee. We were aware of this particular time this afternoon, earlier this morning, and we were unable to prepare any written material. The other is a proposed amendment to Senate Bill 780 that would probably institutionalize current practice in all the counties. One correction on the fiscal impact of the counties. Counties pay salaries, retirement benefits. They also pay unemployment compensation right now. The state pays for, because we are appointed by a state officer, i.e. a circuit judge, industrial accident workers' compensation. And the county would assume that on January 1 under the bill as written. I suppose there could be a long discussion on the philosophical reasons why this is bad legislation. It's very flawed. It's introduced every session that I can remember at the request of the Association of Oregon Counties. This Senate Bill 780 has a very narrow focus and probably very broad implications. The broad implications are such that the juvenile justice system would be seriously disenfranchised if you remove circuit judges from any position of authority in the decision-making on programming for juvenile services in counties. That's the major problem. I don't have any particular problem about my head rolling down the category. My Board of Commissioners keeps telling me that I'm one of the most progressive department heads in county government in Yamhill County. I'm presuming that they're being honest with that. I don't believe that Mr. Peterson has any concerns, but we do have some concerns when it comes to the system. Senate Bill 780 is so flawed that if passed, would create a problem where the detention facility would remain under the control of the circuit judge, as would the personnel running that facility, but in another section of the same building in about six or eight counties in Oregon, the juvenile department would be under county board of commissioner control.
And what section and line is that?
That,
well, we'd like you to be specific rather than use phrases.
Do you want me to? I'll give that 419.
So flawed that as this,
Mr. Chair.
419.
Just if the committee would indulge me again,
sure.
Perhaps during the testimony, and so the audience and the witnesses are aware, we have sometimes called witnesses back up and had you work out your differences in front of us, and I perhaps would want to do that today at some point, because I know there's a difference of opinion on this bill, so that's to serve notice to audience members as well as the present witnesses.
The conflict would be created, as I mentioned, with detention facilities in that in ORS Chapter 419.612, the personnel of detention facilities will remain under the control of the circuit judges. In 419.606, the director of the juvenile department would remain the administrator and supervisor of the staff of the juvenile department and detention facility. So then we would have a situation where the director is administrator of a facility whose personnel are subject to control and direction of an elected official other than his appointing authority.
Neither of these are statutes that I see in the bill.
No, they aren't.
As printed. Did you bring all of this matter to the attention of the Senate?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I just, you know, we want to know where you're coming from.
Sure.
You've got to understand, and everybody in this audience should understand that the chairs in the House are under a time deadline, and this is getting, believe it or not, near the end of the session. And we're not likely to entertain any new theories that haven't yet been propounded in previous forums and start taking on some new policy matters that were never raised, unless they're of such monumental consequence and it was pure oversight. So,
sure. No, what I am relating to you now, Mr. Chairman, is verbatim information that I gave the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senate Governmental Operations and Elections. Another point that I'd like to...
If you gave it to the Judiciary Committee, it wouldn't have done much good.
True. One other point I'd like to make is that in Chapter 3.250, court services in juvenile and family-related matters are defined as essentially all those things that juvenile departments do. In Chapter 3.280, authority exists for the circuit courts to obtain court services in juvenile and family-related matters by either employing or contracting for personnel, entering into agreements with public or private agencies, firms, or individuals. And the compensation and expenses for those court services shall be determined by the circuit court and be subject to approval of and be paid by counties subject to local budget law. it further says that court services shall be subject to supervision of the circuit court. So if 780 were to pass, juvenile departments are under the management administrative control of counties, but we're providing court services, we are by other Oregon law under the as providing court services, we're under the supervision of the circuit court. So it doesn't change a whole lot, and that's why the bill is so flawed. The proposed amendment that we have, and I'll distribute now, pretty much institutionalizes current practice in Oregon. The language in that 780 attempts to amend is essentially language left over from the 1959 rewrite of, or creation, if you will, of the Oregon Juvenile Code. What these amendments propose is essentially leaving appointment authority of juvenile department staff with the judges of the juvenile court, and those folks would be serving at the pleasure of the appointing judge in accordance with county personnel rules. That seems to be the biggest bugaboo right now. It has been for some time. The conflicts that arise between county commissioners and juvenile departments arise primarily because of personality conflicts. There's no regular problem throughout the state of Oregon. I have never had a problem in the two counties that I've worked in. Mr. Peterson's worked in a couple of different counties in the state. And what few problems do crop up are worked out together. Right now you have with downsized the training schools, you have the juvenile court creating the plan to divert kids upon approval by the county commissioners. So you have a whole lot of good working relationships in most counties. I would dispute a whole lot of what what Commissioner Rogers said about Lane County. To my knowledge, Lane County probably runs the most progressive juvenile detention facility in the state of Oregon. So I wonder why he says that they're not aware of major case law other practices throughout the country, when I know that they are at least the most progressive facility in the state of Oregon. These proposed amendments offered by the Juvenile Judges Association would require that appointments of juvenile department staff by judges be in accordance with essentially county personnel rules. That's been done for years, but in the few notorious cases that have cropped up and where you've had real conflict, could have been remedied if the verbiage of these amendments would have been in existence. We would offer and really encourage that these amendments be incorporated in Senate Bill 780. What it would do from current practice is essentially make judges subject to county personnel rules when they're appointing and considering firing juvenile department staff. One other body material I have here, AOC is not unanimous. There's at least two counties, or maybe three that I'm aware of, where the boards of county commissioners are not in favor of Senate Bill 780, right. One of which is Clackamas County Board of Commissioners, and I'll just give you this material to read it at your leisure.
My name is Alan Peterson, and I'm the juvenile director in Lincoln County. And I wanted to, I'm going to just keep very short because many things Alan has prepared in the past, I have myself. Many of the juvenile departments in the state are already under collective bargaining agreements with the county commissioners. I happen to be one. With a staff of 16 people, there is only two that are not under a collective bargaining agreement through the Board of County Commissioners and approved by the judge. So in effect, the only two people in my county under the court now that would be under the judge's control would be myself. And we are undoubtedly, by that agreement, subject to all the personnel policies and grievance procedures as necessary. And I think if we did a check, we'd find out the majority of the counties are in that type of predicament now. And I think there have been some rulings by the state court as far as the right for court officials to collective bargain. And irregardless of whether that's a state court official or somebody working under the juvenile court. One thing that's a real concern to me as it relates to physical impact and possibility of changing the system is probably more than 80% of all cases that are processed by local juvenile departments are done in an informal manner by statute in 4199.630. And it's called informal disposition agreements. Part of that section also extends the right of a child to be represented by counsel, which I believe reflects the fact that it's a quasi-judicial process and relates back to the Court Services Act, which means intake is a function of the court. We do the screening. We make the determination of what cases are filed. We also have judicial immunity as for the purpose of the taking the child into custody or accepting deliverance. I believe the county commissioners themselves would subject themselves to liability if we intervene prior to a court order the way the whole rest of ORS 419 relates, because it does talk about the court or counselor. And the reason that statute was written is it is an old statute, and we do have county judges that retain jurisdiction, and some of those counties do not have a juvenile counselor.
Can I ask a question of both of you? These amendments were presented to the Senate, and I take it were also passed out to those people who are proponents of the bill?
They are aware of these amendments, yes.
And you've talked, for Representative Dick's earlier question, are you requesting that these amendments be worked out?
Well, if
you
have
tried it already,
we
just failed.
Pardon me?
You've tried it already and it's failed. Or yes or no? I mean,
I believe to speak for that is I think if we had our druthers, as Mr. Young was going to say, we'd like to see the things remain currently. There is some other efforts going on with a judges coalition and with a variety of people not appointed by a legislative body that are trying to restructure the system and make some sense between JSC, CSD, juvenile departments, IE, and try to bring it together. We would offer these amendments for the purpose of not passing Senate Bill 780 as it is. I believe that the amendment you have is the practice. I think it's important for the juvenile court judges to remain involved in the decision making and administration of kids. 46 out of 50 states have direct ties of juvenile court administration with intake and probation staff. I can't see Oregon completely wanting to sever that tie.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
Where is JSC in this issue? Did they work with you on the amendments?
No. JSC has taken no position on Senate Bill 780. They have a unique relationship themselves in that local JSCs are appointed both by county boards of commissioners and circuit court judges having authority in juvenile matters. And I think that JSC just decided that taking no position at the current time would probably be the best.
One other comment I wanted to make in relation to Mr. Rogers as far as at one time in Lane County, we used to joke about the Judge a Month program as they rotate the judges through, and I think at one time it was 3 months. And Judge Allen undoubtedly has stuck on for almost 2 years, which I believe is a constructive move. In most other counties in the state, it's the same judge. From Lincoln County, we have two judges, but it's been the same judge for over 10 years that's been presiding and administering. And during that period of time, I probably had 20 boards, 20 different people run through the Board of County Commissioners. So that in itself, as it relates to the majority of counties, is not an issue where they're rotating various judges in.
We some of us do appreciate even the ability to have the option to have a judge a month.
Well put. The judges' coalition that's been meeting for some time, and I'm sure you're aware of, has identified the issue of who does have authority over juvenile departments as one of the major issues. This state, since 1979 at least, has developed a pretty intense philosophy towards community-based services for children. You can't be much more community-based than a county juvenile department. It's the oldest institution for kids in counties in the state of Oregon. And I think to fiddle with that process right now, just as people are starting to sit down and talk, they've got the shape of the table worked out, they're looking at some pretty fundamental issues, they're going through some pains right now, but I think to disrupt the relationship between the judge and the juvenile department right now would be very, very premature. I think in 1989 we're going to see some major changes in the system coming about, not necessarily initiated by legislative fiat, but
there are judges in this state that are strong proponents of this legislation.
I know of three circuit court judges in the state.
Sawyer and Edison, and who else?
And Barron,
who have had
disputes.
Some problems brought on by some. I better not say it.
I think, you know, that one another issue that it relates, a lot of times this puts the shoe on the other foot.
Sure.
In the vast majority of counties, that this isn't even an issue. In fact, Lincoln County Board of Commissioners are opposed to the bill as it's written. They don't see what the issue is. And the chairman of the board is a retired county clerk of 27 years, and she said the judge, having been a clerk, should have responsibility for the staff that carries out their functions.
Yeah, questions of these witnesses. Were you done, Mr. Peterson?
Yeah, I was done.
One other question.
Yes.
Since you seem to have the survey results of where everybody is on this bill, I'm not aware of where Multnomah County commissioners are. Where are the Multnomah County commissioners?
I'm not real sure. I would say that one or two of them would be in opposition.
Well, I think,
but I
hate
to second guess.
That I don't think Representative Bauman's asking you to guess where somebody is.
Sure.
I think when it gets down to it, a lot of counties have taken no formal stance. There have been several counties that have actually taken a formal resolution from the county to go on record. Many of the counties have taken no such stand, even though they may tell us that they are not supportive.
Mr. Snyder and Mr. Frankie, I believe, are signed up and will be testifying, so I think we probably can draw a better reading on those questions from those witnesses.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes and Olson, would you like to come up together? Maybe I should say Senator Dukes, former county commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill Olson. I'm state senator from District 25 and listed as one of the co-sponsors on the bill with Senator Dukes. I want to tell the members of this subcommittee that the work you're doing exceeds mine. I apologize, but I was unavailable for the hearing that we had on the Senate side in our committee, and then also away on legislative business during the time that there was the vote on the Senate floor. The reason I'm here before you today is to make sure what you just had, the amendments that you've received are in front of you. They were strongly communicated to me from folks in my area. I have both proponent and opponent circuit court judges in my district, which makes it interesting. I had the impression when I was first contacted about the bill that this was going to be a problem solver for all the circuit court judges, and then not long after that I found out there was some disagreement, and then recently in Grants Pass there was an association meeting where the association took strong opposition to the bill, but also wanted its support to the amendments that you have before here should the bill be destined to pass. And I just would ask you to do this since you have the opportunity to have the deliberations, which I missed out on the Senate side, and that is to be as I'm sure you would be and want to be, sensitive to the concerns of those who are basically saying that if the system isn't broken in their area, they'd rather not have it fixed. And that's been communicated to me, but it's also been said to me by Judge Sawyer that he feels it's a problem that needs to be resolved. My concern is that when you have an association in this instance, it's been reported to me that over 90 of the judges are in opposition to the bill and 3 in support of it, that there's a strong message in that, and I just ask you to give your best consideration and questions to that issue. I don't think any of us want to disrupt a sensitive system that we want to be successful. And I want to say, too, to the sponsor who's with me here that I know that in her county there, she has a legitimate reason for having introduced the legislation, and when she approached me with that, it was real clear what she was trying to accomplish. It may not be applicable to all the counties and circuit courts, and I'd ask you to look at that carefully before you pass this on to the full House for a vote.
We want to say to everyone that the senators, we take them out of order, and they have other business and other committees. They're even busier than the House side with the number of committee assignments. So please excuse us for calling them out of order. There's got to be about 3 or 4 places at once. Questions of Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Joan Duke, State Senator from District 1. As chief sponsor of Senate Bill 780, I would like to tell you why I feel strongly about this bill, as well as why I feel it is good public policy and beneficial to the court system. From 1983 until January of this year, I was a Clatsop County Commissioner. During that time, serious financial difficulties resulted in the layoff of a large number of our employees. During this time, we were also having serious problems with the working relations between our county juvenile department and the local Juvenile Services Commission, the local Children's Services Department, and the Boys and Girls Aid Society, which provided shelter care in the county. We tried very hard to rectify these problems, which gained considerable press coverage and reduced the amount of time the juvenile director was able to spend on the problems of individual juveniles coming through his department. The difficulties only became worse. We, as elected officials with the full fiscal responsibility of the county, were told by the juvenile director that we would be in court if we laid off anyone in his department. The only departments that had not experienced personnel cuts at that point were the two-person surveyor's department, because it takes 2 people to do a survey, and the 1.5-person treasurer's department. We weighed the potential court costs, the negative publicity for the county, and our responsibility as elected officials over an entire county government, and laid off a juvenile counselor. The threats were repeated, this time from the juvenile judge, into whose court the suit would have taken us. In the end, the judge decided not to pursue the matter. While all of this was going on, we were unable to produce a biennial juvenile services plan because the juvenile director was unable to work with our local Juvenile Services Commission or the other agencies involved. We faced the very real possibility that the county would lose money to finance juvenile programs, including money to fund a staff position in the juvenile department, oddly enough, if we were unable to produce a plan acceptable to the parties involved by the deadline. Nonetheless, the director issued edicts and refused to compromise. And as commissioners, about to lose another employee in a department we had just nearly gone to court over, we were powerless to do anything. I cannot begin to tell you how much time that should have gone into serving juveniles, the court system, or the county at large was lost by the commissioners, the juvenile judge, and the juvenile director. The process was most destructive to Clatsop County. In conversation about this problem, my juvenile judge explained why he thought placing a juvenile judge over a juvenile department was a conflict of interest. On the one hand, it is his staff making recommendations on juvenile cases, and on the other hand, he must decide the outcome of the case. He explained the difficult position that places him in and how he felt it violated the Constitution. He would have been here today to express his support for Senate Bill 780, but apparently the hearing date was not set until yesterday, and that was not sufficient notice for him to make the necessary arrangements with his schedule.
The hearing date, Senator Dukes, was due to the time crunch, wasn't printed until yesterday, but it was available notice-wise, not in the published bulletin, but in the printed notices that go around the building.
When we called the day before, we were told no hearing date had been set. And yesterday when we called, we were told yes, there had been. We were trying to get enough lead time to get some of those folks down here, which obviously didn't work. He called this morning to reiterate his support and express the wish that he could have been here himself.
He did that to me, too.
Did he? Good. Senate Bill 780 received a good, open, thorough discussion in the Senate. The committee rejected amendments to it and sent it to you in its original form. The bill gives the authority to hire and set the salary for the juvenile director to the county, the governing body of the county, after consultation with the judge. Additional qualifications for the director will be subject to the approval of the judge. It also clarifies that the juvenile department is a county agency for all purposes. While the state makes no claim to the department, there has, on some occasions, been discussion between commissioners and judges over the subject. In our own case, Clatsop County specifically asked the state whether the employees of the juvenile department were state employees and were told they were not. It was more a matter of clarification because all funds to run the juvenile department, including salaries for all employees, come from the county. Although the counties cannot hire or set salaries, it is a county check that is issued to each employee each month. This is not a new subject. It has been studied many times, and I believe that is why the Senate committee rejected a request for an additional study.